So let's turn again to Psalm 51, and we're just going to take a phrase. It's easily remembered, and I want you to read it with me. It's the first request of verse 12. There are two requests in verse 12, Psalm 51, and we're going to take the first of the two requests. Would you read the words with me? From Psalm 51, verse 12, and section A. Are you ready? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Can you leave this morning with that prayer tucked away in your heart? And will you use it from time to time as you need it? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was an English Bible teacher and pastor of the renowned Westminster Chapel in London, England. I used to attend the chapel when I was a student in London back in the early 50s, and Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones had succeeded Dr. Campbell Morgan. Dr. Morgan writes, "In 1895, I went to the town of Douglas in the Isle of Man, and in one of my afternoon meetings, there came to me a young lady who said that all the joy had gone out of her life 4 years ago. Praise God, I said. What about, she asked, that you know when it went? Because if you know when it went, you know how it went. She said, I don't think I do. Yes, you do, said Dr. Morgan. You are very definite about the time. Now go back 4 years and tell me what happened. She hung her head for a while, and I knew that something had happened back then. What was it? I asked. She replied, well, I disagreed with my oldest friend, and we had an argument. We were both Christians, and I wanted to tell her I was wrong, but I didn't, and she has left the country. Well, I said, it's at least evident that you know the reason of your failure. What am I to do? She asked. Write to her and tell her that you were wrong. That is what the master wanted you to do then. I can't do that, she said. I can't do that. Well, you'll never get back your joy until you do. You'll never get back your joy until you're obedient. She came to all the meetings of the series and fought God every day. She had all the knowledge of the blessed life that had come to her from her past experience, and yet was in darkness and distress because she wouldn't go back to the point of her disobedience and be obedient. The next year, says Dr. Morgan, I went back to Douglas, and my first meeting was a meeting for Christian workers. One of the first persons I spoke to was that young woman. I said, you have sent that letter, haven't you? She said, yes. Every line on her face convinced me that the joy of the Lord had returned. She said, I wrote it last night. I've been fighting God for 12 months about that letter. And all last week, as I look forward to this series of meetings, I've been in anguish. And at last I said, oh God, I cannot bear this any longer. I'll give in. I wrote that letter, sealed it, carried it at midnight, and dropped it in the letterbox, the mailbox. And as that letter went into the box, heaven came back into my heart. Heaven came back into my heart. The joy of the Lord was restored to that woman. You know, that woman's experience is completely in line with the sequence of biblical teaching in Psalm 51. If you know Psalm 51, it was read to us beautifully. Here in Psalm 51, David recognizes that repentance always precedes restoration, that brokenness always precedes blessing. And as a believer, his experience given to us in Psalm 51 can be summed up in four chapters. Chapter 1, joy received. Chapter 2, joy removed. Chapter 3, joy requested. And then finally, chapter 4, joy restored. Will you think with me about each of these chapters for a few minutes? Chapter 1, I've called joy received. Genuine Christian experience is characterized by joy, not necessarily joviality. That's something different. We're talking about something deep in the heart that cannot be disturbed, the joy of the Lord. In his lengthy article on Christianity in the 1976 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, Professor Ernest Benz observes, in the New Testament, joy appears as the characteristic mark of distinction of the Christian. That's from the Encyclopedia Britannica, telling us that joy should be the characteristic of us as believers. And in his book, Orthodoxy, J.K. Chesterton declares that joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. Unfortunately, we keep it to ourselves. But he means it's the secret of what it means to walk with the Lord and love the Lord. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. This joy comes to us at the time of our conversion. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, joy comes with that experience. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, we have the sequence. Listen to these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, which is the basic new relationship of the sinner to God when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice, says Paul, in the hope of the glory of God. Did you hear the sequence? Justification, peace with God, access into his presence, and abiding and abundant joy. It's yours when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it, for example, in that wonderful conversion story in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian ambassador. We read that he had come to Jerusalem seeking God, and unfortunately he didn't find God there amidst Judaism. And he was on his way back to Ethiopia, and he was intercepted by evangelist Philip. You know the story. And we read that he believed in Jesus as the Messiah, was baptized, and there's a wonderful little phrase that describes him as he goes on his way. Do you remember that little phrase? He went on his way rejoicing because the joy of the Lord had filled his heart when he believed in Jesus as his Savior. But as you read the New Testament, you discover that joy is also the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the harvest of the Spirit in our hearts. That means that joy is donated at the moment of conversion and is deepened in our walk with God. In his book, On Tiptoe with Joy, Dr. John Siemens writes, "Forever the Holy Spirit dwells in his fullness, there will be joy, abiding joy." And then he acknowledges, it's quite evident that a great many Christians of our day do not experience the joy of the Lord. Their lives are more like funeral dirges than symphonies of joy. And he goes on to say, when we recapture the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then we shall begin to experience the joy of the Lord in our hearts, reflected on our faces and demonstrated in our lives. The joy of the Lord is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But as you read Psalm 51, do you discover that this story involves joy removed? King David freely acknowledges that at one point he lost his joy. He lost the joy of the Lord. And if you read the parallel psalm with Psalm 51, Psalm 32, you'll discover that instead of gladness in his heart, there was groaning. Instead of joy, there was heaviness in David's heart. There are at least two reasons for this. Number one, and follow me here, sin cancels joy. God has ruled that you cannot enjoy sin and the pleasures of sin and at the same time experience the joy of the Lord. They are incompatible. They are contradictory. They are opposites. And sin cancels the joy of the Lord. Sin turns off the tape of God's joyful music in our heart. You remember the case of the prodigal son. There was no celebration. There was no music in the pig pen, as I read the story. But when he returned home, you know the story, don't you? When he returned home, his father said, "Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate." And there was music and dancing and joy and singing when the prodigal came home. And it's always that way. When we come back home, there's joy, there's a feast, there's rejoicing when we return. There's another reason why we lose our joy when we sin. When we sin defiantly, when we sin deliberately, when we make the choice to sin, we grieve the blessed Holy Spirit. And so in Ephesians 4:30, Paul exhorts us in these words, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And that tells me that the Holy Spirit is not merely a spiritual idea or a spiritual influence, but is a person. And I can enter into a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And because that is so, then I can grieve him. I can hurt him. And when I hurt him, I lose his joy. He removes his joy from my heart. Paul is almost echoing Isaiah 63:10, where we read concerning God's people that they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Let's never imagine that the sins of a believer are simply overlooked by God. That's not New Testament teaching. The fact is that a sinning believer grieves the Holy Spirit, and as a result, he withdraws the joy that he normally wants to give us in our daily living. And we lose that joy. Chapter 3 of our story is joy requested. And that's our text. Say it again with me in verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." That's a request, isn't it? That's a petition. That's a plea. He's asking God to restore the joy of his salvation. You notice that this request comes after his repentance. If you glance back over verses 1 through 11, you'll notice that David has confessed his sin. He has asked for pardon and purity. He's asked for a steadfast spirit to obey God. Now comes the request, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." I want to stress this. I'm glad that there is a renewed interest on the part of God's people in revival. As never before, people are talking about revival. They're reading books on revival. There are prayer meetings for revival being created from coast to coast. And we're just rejoicing that this is so. And I come from Scotland, and I was just reading an article this morning that said there are prayer meetings being started in various parts of Scotland for revival. And that rejoiced my heart. But listen, when we talk about such things as dealing with sin, confessing sin, seeking cleansing. These are not an end in themselves. They are means to an end, and that end is renewal and revival, the restoration of the joy of the Lord. There has to be a time of introspection and dealing with sin, but that's not where we leave it, is it? That is to lead us into a new experience of the joy of the Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's what King David is asking for. So you must never stop at confession. You must go on to cleansing and renewal and fellowship with God, the restoration of the joy of the Lord. You mustn't focus on your past rebellion, your guilt. The blood covers that, doesn't it? You must enter now into the joy of the Lord once again. The restoration of the joy of the Lord. Then you must ask in faith. David bows before the God of all grace, the God who saves, verse 14, the God who freely gives, and he asks for the joy of the Lord. A great preacher in Scotland was named Dr. Thomas Guthrie. He lived in the last century. And he tells us about a very poor woman who was seen standing before the window of a royal conservatory or hothouse. It was in the dead of winter, and no flowers were to be seen in the gardens and no fruit on the trees. But in the hothouse, a splendid bunch of grapes hung from a branch of the vine, basking in the bright winter sunshine. Gazing at it, the poor woman sighed, "Oh, I wish I could take that bunch of grapes home to my darling daughter who's sick at home." She returned home and sat down at her spinning wheel and worked day and night until she had earned half a crown, which wasn't very much money. Then she went to the king's gardener and offered him the half crown for the bunch of grapes. And he didn't receive her very kindly and told her to go. The poor woman returned home and looked around her little cottage to see whether there was anything she could sell. It was a severe winter, yet she thought she could do without a blanket for a week or two. So she pawned it for another half crown and went back to the king's gardener and now offered him 5 shillings, still not very much money. But again the gardener scolded her and took her by the arm roughly and turned her out from the building. It just happened, however, at that moment that the king's daughter, the princess, was near at hand. And when she heard the angry words of the gardener and the weeping of the woman, she came up and inquired into the matter. And when the woman had told her story, the princess looked at her with a kindly smile and she said, "My poor woman, you are mistaken. My father is not a merchant, but a king. His business is not to sell, but to give." Whereupon she plucked the bunch of grapes and handed them to the poor woman, who was so rejoicing as she went back to her sick daughter with this gift from the princess. Perhaps you've often looked at the fruit of the Spirit, in imagination at least, and you've said, "How can this be mine?" And you thought you had to work for it. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? A gift. The fruit of the Spirit, including joy, is a gift that you must ask for in faith. That's the way joy is restored in our hearts. And that's my last chapter, joy restored. David prays, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And I believe that's just what God did for King David. Do you believe that? When he asked in faith, God restored the joy of his salvation. And God still does it when we come in faith. First, as an evidence of God's forgiveness. The joy of the Lord is one of the evidences that God has truly forgiven us. And we enter into that joy afresh every time God forgives us. In her book, Floods on Dry Ground, Miss Eva Stewart Watt tells us about a revival in an African village, which was characterized by intense joy. People would come from far distances with just one request. We want the overflowing joy. Among others who came were three semi-pygmies sent by a missionary. At first, for they had never heard the gospel before, they were unmoved at the meetings. But later, they were awakened by the Holy Spirit. And when asked what they really wanted God to do for them, they said, "The Christians have an overflowing joy. We want God to give us that joy." And when the way of salvation had been made clear to them, they prayed like this: "Oh God, we don't want our sins anymore. Take them away and give us the joy the other people have got in Jesus." And when they were telling their friends later about what happened, they said, "God gave us that joy that very day when we asked in faith." That joy will also be an expression of fellowship. Hester and I were back in Britain in May and June, and we were in various cities. And if you ever visit the United Kingdom, and you go to see one of Queen Elizabeth's castles, whether Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle in England, or Holyrood Palace in my home city of Edinburgh, or Balmoral Castle in the Highlands of Scotland — I never knew why she needed so many castles, but there you are — if you go to any of them, you will know whether she is present in the castle or the palace by the fact that her flag, the royal standard, is flying at the top of the flagpole. The flag is the sign that she's present in the castle or palace. And that led a Scottish preacher to say, and is now a chorus that children sometimes sing, "Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the King, the Lord Jesus, is in residence there." Joy is the flag flown from the castle of the heart when the King, the Lord Jesus, is in residence there. I wonder where you are in this little story that I've been describing today. When you came to Christ, you received the joy of the Lord. Have you lost it? Are you in the place of being joyless? And this morning, the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you the way that you can get that joy back again and have it restored in your heart. The Smith family had a little yellow canary. And this little yellow canary was a beautiful singer. And so they provided for the little bird everything that it needed. There was a swing and a mirror, and there was even a little glass bathtub in the cage. One day when one of the children was cleaning the cage, he broke this little glass bathtub. Several days passed by without that little glass bathtub being replaced, and the family noticed that their little yellow canary had stopped singing. And it went on for a few more days, and then they decided to buy a replacement for the little glass bathtub, which they did, and they filled it up with water. And they watched their little yellow canary get to that little bathtub and begin spraying droplets of water on its feathers. And then it went up onto the swing. And then, you guessed it, it began to do what? Sing. When it had a bath, it began to sing. When it got cleansed, it began to sing. That's Psalm 51, isn't it? When David got cleansed, when he had a spiritual bath, when he had that in-depth cleansing of God from the guilt and defilement of his sin, what happened? "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And he entered once again into the blessed experience of walking with God and knowing the fellowship of God, the presence of God. And it's always this way. There's no other way but coming back to the cross and being cleansed. And then the joy of the Lord filling and flooding our hearts. And we go back into the workaday world, and the joy of the Lord is present in our lives. Shall we pray together before I hand back to Pastor Winston? I asked you already where you are in this story. Are you in chapter 4 where the joy of the Lord has been restored? Or this morning, are you sitting joyless because your sin has not been dealt with, has not been cleansed? This morning I want to give you an opportunity to stand right where you are and say, Pastor Randall, you've been describing me this morning. I'm a believer. I've received God's salvation, but I've lost the joy of it. And this morning, by faith, I'm asking for cleansing and for the joy of the Lord to be restored to my heart. Would you just stand for a moment? I want to pray for you. And if you need counseling afterwards, I'm sure there'll be an elder or someone responsible to help you. Anyone this morning will say, Pastor Randall, that's me. Thank you. God bless you, lady. Anyone else? Just be concerned about yourself, where you are in this story. Joy received but lost, it can be restored. Anyone else? Just stand quietly where you are, over to my right, will you? Say this morning, Lord Jesus, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Quickly, I don't want to prolong the service. If God has spoken to you, you know what you must do. You must be obedient. Go back, as the lady in the story at the beginning, go back and acknowledge your transgression, your guilt before God, and then have it cleansed. Anyone else join us this morning? Quickly, let me encourage you, older person, younger person, boy or girl, if you know the Lord Jesus but you've lost his joy, you can have it back again this morning. Will you stand with me? Anyone else? Quickly. Lord Jesus, the evidence would appear that all of us are filled with this joy of the Lord, but we know that that is probably not the case, that some are struggling in their hearts at this moment, knowing what they should be doing, like that woman in the story, and yet resisting God. Lord, will you constrain them by your Holy Spirit to the place of obedience? I pray for this lady who has stood. Lord, will you honor her faith this morning and restore to her your joy, the joy of your salvation? And we ask that others will take courage from her example and do likewise. Come to the Lord, come to the foot of the cross and receive that cleansing and then the joy of the Lord filling our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.